23rd Psalm, most of us know it. I won't put you on the spot to have you recite it, but I'd like you to stand with me and turn in your scriptures to the 23rd Psalm. And I'm going to have you recite it with me or read it with me, but I'm reading from the King James Version. So if you have a different version, it's going to sound differently, but there is a King James Version Bible in your pew in between the hymn books. So use that, okay? So we're on the same page, the same version of the scripture. Let's stand together and read this, because this is not what I planned on speaking on today, but at the end of the week, the Lord changed my mind, and I'll show you why. All right, Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. You may be seated. Remember what David said, that God has magnified his word above all his name. And this word is magnificent and should be magnified, because we know there's a true vine, as I said, and a false vine. There are a true shepherd in Jesus and a false shepherd, many false shepherds. Israel was filled with false shepherds, shepherds who wouldn't tell the truth. And we trust that you're here and you will hear the truth. If you don't hear the truth, you should leave immediately and never come back, okay? Because God's word is truth. It's yea and amen. I want to share from 23rd Psalm, and I want to enlist a young 10-year-old boy to help me. He's not here with us today. He lived about 250 years ago. Not the shepherd boy of the Christmas story. Little shepherd boy. When I read this story, it touched my heart, and it made me look into the 23rd Psalm a bit more. So, a couple of centuries ago, there was a circuit rider preacher. You know what they are? They saddle up their horse, they have a Bible there, and they go from town to town to town, out west, up in New England, all over the place. In Europe, they did the same thing. And they go to a village, a town, a city, and they'll stay there for a couple days, a couple weeks, and they'll preach in the open air. If there's a church, they'll use the church. And then when they're done, they go to another village, another town. They're called circuit riding preachers. And this one preacher was riding into a village, and he noticed up on the hill a group of sheep. And up on the top, he saw a little tiny figure who was far away. It was a young boy, about the age of 10. And the preacher didn't pay it too much attention. They went to town, and he preached there for a few days. And on his way out, he saw again that little boy attending sheep. And he decided to go over to that little boy and find out if he was a Christian and share the gospel with him. And so he climbed the hill and he met the little boy. And he noticed that the little boy was not well learned. He was slow of learning. The little boy was what some people might call an idiot, a moron. They might call him that. But he was a simple child, and he loved the sheep, and he loved his work. And so the preacher started speaking to him and said, "Little boy, do you know the 23rd Psalm?" And he said, "No, sir, I don't." He was a very polite little boy. "No, sir, I don't know the 23rd Psalm." "Well," said the preacher, "it's about a shepherd like you. Oh, really?
It's in the Bible. I'd like you to learn that psalm here today. But the little boy was not able to keep much in his mind, being so simple. And the preacher recognized that. And he said, I tell you what, little boy, I'm going to teach you just the first five words of this beautiful psalm. And I want you to count on your fingers. Can you do that? Yes, sir. The Lord, the little boy went, the Lord is my shepherd. Can you do it again? Yes. The Lord is my shepherd. Just those first five words. And then the preacher said to the little boy, when you get to that fourth word, my, take your other hand and grasp that fourth finger to emphasize that Jesus, who is the good shepherd, is your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He didn't go into the rest of the psalm. The boy just learned, the Lord is my shepherd. And that rejoiced the heart of the preacher who shared with him the gospel about how Jesus came to pay for our sins, to bear the wrath of God, and to be our shepherd. And he left the boy with those five words. And the circuit rider went on his way to other villages and towns. And about a year or so, he came back and went to the house of that little boy, little farmhouse. And he asked the parents, where is your son? Oh, they said, it was a tragic story. This past winter, it was a mild winter. He went out with the sheep. And then a sudden blizzard came. And he didn't come home that night. And we went searching for him for days and days, and we couldn't find him. But finally, we did. And we found his sheep down in a ravine, all frozen to death. The sheep and the little shepherd boy. But the parents said something strange. When we took the little boys out from the snow, his frozen, stiff body, he had his right hand around his fourth finger. That's how we found him. The Lord is my shepherd. You might think, well, that poor little boy didn't know the rest of the psalm. He really would have been blessed if he had known the whole 23rd psalm. But you see, that little boy did know the whole 23rd psalm. And that's how he's going to help me address this beautiful scripture today. He never heard the 23rd psalm in its entirety. He never read it. Never went to church, as far as we know. But to him, the Lord was his shepherd. And he knew everything else in that psalm because he was a shepherd. And he could identify with this truth, though he never read it. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm a shepherd, he would think. Do my sheep want anything? Do my sheep lack anything? I make sure, as a shepherd, though I'm a little boy and I'm not the smartest kid on the block, yet I make sure my sheep have no wants. And if I, that little boy, simple, uneducated, make sure my sheep have everything they need, how much more does my shepherd care for me? How much more does he care for me? He maketh me or causes me to lie down in green pastures. The little boy, as he was freezing to death, did take some time, I'm sure. He must have thought, he leadeth me to green pastures. I don't lead my sheep to a desert place. I don't cause them to scavenge some weeds in some brown field. I don't do that. I always lead them through to green pastures. It may be through a desert. It may be through a burned out forest. But it's always with this intention to bring them to green pastures so they can feed. And as that little boy lie dying like this, my shepherd is leading me to the green pastures through this blizzard, through the cold, through my shaking body. He's leading me to green pastures, as I would do to my sheep. He maketh me to lie down in still waters. The wind was howling. The sheep were probably crying. They knew their end was near. And yet the little boy said, I always bring my sheep to still waters. The sheep don't like rushing water. They're fearful creatures. They can be swept away. And so a shepherd never brings them to a mighty rushing stream. He brings them always to still waters. They will pass by the raging rivers. They will walk perhaps near the waterfall, but always to the still waters. And this little boy who was saying, the Lord is my shepherd. That's all he knew. But not. He knew the whole psalm. If I lead my sheep to quiet waters, this is where the Lord is leading me. I don't have to moan. I don't have to groan. I don't have to complain as I lie stiffening up in this freezing weather. Here I can find still waters. Here are the green pastures. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. He restores my soul. I don't think the little boy went around all day shepherding sheep with his hand over his fourth finger. But when that storm hit, and when he tried to get up that steep hill of that ravine and couldn't, kept sliding backwards, and one by one his sheep began to die, he remembered the Lord is a shepherd. And his soul was restored. We scramble, we scrape to exist, to survive, and we fear, and maybe fear came upon that little boy, as fear came upon the shepherd who wrote that psalm. But David said, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee, because the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. I shall not want the courage to face my death. I shall not want the courage. I will not be in need of it. He will supply my need, though I may never see my parents again or my siblings. He restores my soul. And he leads me in the paths of righteousness. What's righteous about being caught in a ravine, being buried in snow, and freezing to death? Everywhere God leads his children is a righteous path. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. When I read this little story, the name of Jesus was glorified. The name of God, and the shepherd is Jehovah Raha in the Hebrew. The shepherd who cares, who tends, his feeds, is a companion to his sheep. When I read that, the story of that little boy. And how he, only by trusting in his shepherd, would know that the paths he was being led in were righteous for the glory of God. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. When that storm hit, it was a shadow of death, but the shadow grew into something real. And what did he say? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will fear evil like this, but I will not fear evil like this. I will not fear the evil, the danger, the predicament that I'm in, because the Lord is my shepherd. He's other people's shepherd, but he's also my shepherd. If the young boy despaired for a while, it was quickly driven away as he reminded of his shepherd's love. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That little shepherd boy knew he could not leave his sheep for a couple hours. If he did, when he came back, the wolves would have found them and destroyed them. The thieves would have come and stolen them away. He had to be vigilant. He had to be diligent in watching over his sheep. He could not leave them, even for a moment. He was stuck there, gladly stuck there to watch them. When a sheep turns over on its back, most of the time it cannot get up. And it happens quite often to sheep. They have that itchy wool. You know how wool can be itchy, right? I used to have a wool suit and it was horrible. The uniforms of the Civil War soldiers and others were made out of wool. And these animals, of course, they have wool. Of course, the wool isn't so much touching their inner layer of skin, but they get itches and they get burrs and they get sticks caught in their wool and they rub their back like we would want to get a back scratch, back rub. And if they do, they cannot get up again. And they will die. Within a few hours, that lamb, that sheep will die. And usually the birds come and pluck out their eyes. That's quite common. And so the shepherd must be diligent. He must look over and count his sheep. Because if a lamb falls down within 1,000 sheep, he has to look. He may not see that lamb that has turned over. It's called casting. The sheep is cast. And so he must not just look over, he must walk through the herd, the flock, knowing them by name. Where is that little lamb? Oh, he's cast down over there. So he must look. And the shepherd boy knew, if I do that, if I go after my sheep, if I make sure they're not cast down, if I make sure I can get them up again, you know, when a shepherd finds a lamb that's been cast for a few hours, he has to right him up and he massages his legs, get the blood flowing. That little boy, as he was freezing to death, he needed a massage. He needed someone to rub his legs and his arms and his body to make him feel warm inside, but mom and dad weren't there, but Jesus was. And if I will do that to my sheep, when they are cast down, I am cast down. I can't get up. I can't return home. But I need that massage. I need that loving hand. And he found it. Because the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Every shepherd carries a rod or two for defense for discipline. If a lamb sees an enemy approaching, he must look to the shepherd and his rod. What do I have to fear? The shepherd will gladly put himself between me and the wolf, between me and the thief. The thief comes, said Jesus, to kill and destroy. But I am the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. This little boy saying, as he's about to breathe his last breath, I'm comforted. My shepherd hasn't left me. I see the cold image of death approaching. My enemy, the enemy of my mortal life, is coming. But I fear no evil because I'm being comforted. His rod, I see it. His staff, I see it. And if I make sure my sheep see my staff, if I make sure they know I'm here and have comfort from it, how much more does my Savior? For I am but a feeble shepherd boy. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Yes, here comes the enemy called death. He is our enemy. But through Christ, he becomes our friend. And we no longer flee him. We no longer fear him. Why? Because in the presence of our enemies, the Lord has prepared a table, not a billiards table, not a ping pong table, not a table with delicious snacks on it, a table of feasting. Feasting. There are too many Christians who are snacking on God's grace. Too many Christians snacking on God's word. The Apostle Paul said his prayer was that the church might be filled with all the fullness of God. That we might know the depth, the breadth, the height, the width of God's love. Be filled with his fullness. You can't get that by snacking. No, never. Never. If you were to live on snacks the rest of your life, it wouldn't be a long life. I'd love to live on potato chips, pretzels, but it wouldn't be a long life. This is not a table of snacking, but of feasting. Feasting. In the presence of my enemy. Who in the world would sit down at a table and feast when the enemy is trying to break down the gates? No, it's to arms, it's to arms. Gather your weapons, meet the foe. Not this little shepherd boy. See, I bring my sheep, he would think, to a table of feasting. I never bring them to the fields for a snack. Never. I never let them nibble for a moment and then take them away. They're to feast. And if I, a little shepherd boy, set before my precious sheep a table of feasting, how much more does my Savior? The Lord is my shepherd. I will feast, not snack, on him. And on that table is all manner of heaven's delicacies. Yes, there are sweet things, but there are nutritious things. There's the love and the joy and the peace, the comfort, the assurance, the hope, the gentleness, the courage. All that we need is on that table. And we don't have it because we're not feasting. We decide to pick a little bit here and there. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. What does that mean? Sheep will not lie down and rest when they're bothered by nose flies. It's quite common. You've seen cattle and horses and sheep, how the flies will be attracted to them, and especially to the nose and the ears and the eyes of the sheep. They will crawl into the nose. They will go into the ears. And a lamb, a sheep, cannot lay down and rest. If you want to read something beautiful, you read Philip Keller's book, A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. He was a shepherd for a number of years. If you haven't read that book, I encourage you to do it. He says there are four requirements for sheep to lie down and rest. Number one, free from fear. And that's what David said. I will fear no evil, thou art with me. Free from friction with other sheep. Free from the nose flies. And free from hunger. They cannot rest if they're hungry. And you know what? If they're snacking, they're still hungry. If the shepherd just brings them out for a nibble of the best grass and leads them away back to the stall or the corral, they'll still be hungry. And they cannot rest. That's why there are many Christians who do not have that perfect rest that Jesus promised. That perfect peace that Jesus said, I give. Not as the world gives. Come unto me, I will give you rest. I will give you peace. Not as the world gives peace. But many Christians don't have that peace. In my own life, there were times I did not have that peace, did not have that rest, because I was a snacker. And a snacker is a slacker. Pardon the poor rhyming. But if you're a snacker, you're slacking. Your duty, we are to feast on the living bread. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, olive oil. The shepherd would take the olive oil and anoint the heads, the ears, the eyes, and the nose. And the flies wouldn't light. They would buzz around, but they wouldn't light until the lamb could rest. Martin Luther said, I can't keep the birds from flying over my head, but I can keep them from making a nest in my hair. And that's what the shepherd does. He doesn't keep the flies from coming at you. God doesn't keep the devil away, but he can keep the devil from making a nest in your mind. And that shepherd boy is thinking, again, as his body is stiffening and as he's falling off to a final sleep, my head's been anointed with the oil of gladness. The Bible says that Jesus was anointed with the oil of gladness above others. Though he suffered tremendously, on one hand he suffered, a man of suffering, but a man of great joy. And here we have the little boy experiencing the great suffering, but also the great joy of being anointed with the oil of gladness. And so the ice could form on his skin, and his limbs could freeze, but they could not enter his soul. And he said, David did, my cup runs over. My cup runneth over. When that little shepherd boy would take his sheep to the fields, to the streams, to feed them, to help the ewes give birth to new lambs, he would want their cup running over. In other words, he wants abundance for them. He's not going to take 1,000 sheep to 100 square feet of pasture. He's not going to take 1,000 sheep to a little mud hole to drink from. He wanted their cup to run over. He wanted them to have abundance. And Jesus said, I've come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. And that can only be had as we stop snacking and stop feasting on the Lord and his mercy. Surely, Surely. This is how David ended his psalm. Surely. Not maybe. Not perhaps. But surely. Surely. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, no matter how short, no matter how painful. It will follow me all the days of my life. And the little boy, little shepherd boy, said, I follow after my sheep, only wishing them goodness and mercy. And all the days of my shepherding, it's goodness and mercy. It includes discipline. It includes sometimes a hard path to get to the still waters and the green pastures, but it's always good and mercy in me that follows them. How much more? How much more? The shepherd who gave his life for me. Surely, not maybe, not somehow, not perhaps, but surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will. I'm not going to stay here in this ravine, he thought. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. He is my shepherd. Is the Lord Jesus your shepherd? Are you one of his sheep? Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. If you're a snacking sheep of his, you may be a sheep, but you're going to be a sickly sheep. You're going to be a hungry sheep. And you might end up being a wandering sheep because you think the grass is greener. Oh, over there, I'll get fed better. No. If your shepherd is Jesus Christ, he'll feed you with everything you need. There's no place other you have to go. In Hebrews chapter 13, we read, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect, complete in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I'd like you to stand with me. We're going to sing a song in closing. It's a song we haven't sung here in over 30 years. It talks about feasting. Are you feasting or are you snacking? Nibbling? Dwelling in Beulah Land? You may not know it. You probably don't know it. Anyone here know that song? Dwelling in Beulah Land? Good.
Far away the noise of strife upon my ear is falling. Then I know the sins of earth beset on every hand. Down in fear and things of earth in vain to me are calling. None of these shall move me from Beulah Land. I'm living on the mountain, underneath a cloudless sky. Praise God, I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply. For I am dwelling in Beulah.
Beulah means the land of marriage.
Far below the storm of doubt upon the world is beating. Sons of man in battle long the enemy withstand. Safe am I within the castle of God's word retreating. Nothing there can reach me, 'tis Beulah Land. I'm living on the mountain, underneath a cloudless sky. Praise God, I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply. For I am dwelling in Beulah land. Let the stormy breezes blow, their cry cannot alarm me. I am safely sheltered here, protected by God's hand. Here the sun is always shining, here there's naught can harm me. I am safe forever in Beulah land. I'm living on the mountain, underneath a cloudless sky. Praise God, I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply. For I am dwelling in Beulah land. Viewing here the works of God, I sink in contemplation. Hearing now his blessed voice, I see the way he planned. Dwelling in the Spirit here, I learn a full salvation. Gladly will I tarry in Beulah land. I'm living on the mountain, underneath a cloudless sky. I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply. Where I am dwelling in Beulah land.
If you're not feasting, start today, right? We'll be seated now. We're going to feast. We're going to feast on the grace of God as revealed during the Last Supper. If the brethren would come forward. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ, or if maybe you just decided now to do that, we invite you to partake of this supper. But don't just nibble on the unleavened bread. Don't just take a little sip from the cup. Drink it all. Take all of Jesus. Take all of his word. Don't pick and choose. Don't be a picky eater when it comes to God's word. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, passed it among his disciples. Lord, if we have been just snacking on your word, we do ourselves a great disfavor and we do you a great dishonor. Because you cannot magnify such a lamb as that. You cannot glorify. You cannot thank such a member of your flock. Unless we are feasting on you. That we might, by your grace, know the depth, the width, the breadth, the height of your love. That we might be filled with all the fullness that is in you. And Lord, we have to feast. If we're not feasting, we're starving. We thank you for this little boy's testimony. Thank you that, by your grace, he was able to make you his shepherd. Yes, the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Take and eat in remembrance of him. And after the same manner also, Jesus took the cup. I would think that if that little shepherd boy being covered with, blanketed with life-removing snow, if he knew this, I think he would sing this chorus, "Let the stormy breezes blow. Their cry cannot alarm me. I am safe, sheltered here, protected by God's hand. Here the sun is always shining. Here there's naught can harm me. I'm safe forever in Beulah land. I am married to the Lord through faith." After the same manner also, Jesus took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Let's remember him. He who wants to be your shepherd. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. You sent Jesus to bear our sins, to bear our punishment that we deserved. And on top of that, to become our friend, to be our shepherd, our guide, our counselor. Oh, may our hearts ever be grateful for what you've done. And when it comes time for us to leave this world, we will grab that fourth finger and say, "The Lord is my shepherd. He is my shepherd. I shall not want." In the name of Jesus, our great, true, good shepherd, we pray. Amen.